Welcome back to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies Wrap Up Podcast for episode 14. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, my co-host, Alistair. How are you?
Brian, I'm somewhere between okay and unwell. How are you?
Well, I'm leaning more towards unwell, so this we're not off to a great start. Not great. I wanted to be optimistic. I have been optimistic. I am not coming in optimistic.
Ugh, I mean, where has the time gone? You said 14 episodes. I'm like, three weeks ago, is that when we went to three teams? It was like,
right.
This is a new day. I don't understand. We're so negative, so amazing. And it's like last week, all of our comments were so negative. Again, not towards us. We appreciate you, but towards the season. And now, you know, I'm halfway to throwing my hands up and saying, you're right, let's call it a day. We've got All-Stars too. Let's invest our time in that.
And even that wasn't that great. But even for this one, though, like an hour five into this, I was still like, all right, this has been a pretty good episode. I liked the daily. There was some politicking going around. Things were setting themselves up for what was going to happen. And then the Ashley disappearance. The absolute travesty that happened with the elimination. And now it's like, what was this hour and a half that we just watched? Because, great, Emerald, I guess Emerald is different. That's fun. But, I mean, Big T still being on the show. That was, I don't think I've ever, like, been actually upset about something that's happened on the reality topic competition show in, like, a long time. A really long time. I can't remember the last time. I was genuinely like pissed when TJ was like, "Well, Big T, come on down. You're the next contestant on Let's Screw Up This Season." Like, how was she back? What were they doing? Who's clamoring for more Big T at this point? Who?
If I would have to, like, I don't remember the last time I wasn't pissed about reality TV, so different stat there. We would need the challenge stats on that. Yeah, it's interesting because my main gripe with this episode is the first half. Not that we'll get to the elimination.
So
I
between
agree.
The two of us, we just, you know, just pull the plug on the entire show.
Or, you know, is it half full or half empty? Like, maybe between right. The two of us, we could scramble together like a decent outlook. But
there you go.
I have yawn in all caps written down, like, to remind myself how bored I was because I have almost no notes. Like, I was just like, wow, nothing must really happen. Quite frankly, I was shocked that there was even an elimination. Once Ashley gets the boot, I'm like, oh, that's why they were doing all of this. Amanda gives them a quiz to see if they're like smart. They're narrating Nelson working out, like all of this stuff that would normally be like stretch. We have nothing. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. They're eating up the time that would happen in the elimination. And then when they ran the elimination, I was like, wow, they really have nothing going on. And I think a lot of people have pointed to this as something that has hurt the show of this all vet alliance being so dominant. But I think it sounds stupid, but this episode, it was so clear and so frustrating in that one, there was nothing to, no strategy really to occupy the first third of the episode because they know they're already like basically set. And two, we finally get some explanation of like, they've all been loyal to CT, why they've been loyal to CT. And they're so warped in their view of this, the whole is greater than the individual, that we literally have the dominant team berating people for making game moves for their own individual advantage. It is like so insane to see people who understand the game seemingly lose touch with the reality of the game.
And for me, like that, I didn't mind because at least that was something happening. Pete, like Devin being like delusional about like pestering Amanda about why, how selfish she's being for trying to like act in her own self-interest. At least that was something happening on the show. And I thought the whole thing with Amanda and Josh about Amanda getting Josh to admit about who he would want off his team, I thought that was pretty compelling and pretty interesting stuff. I guess relatively it's not like that compelling, but like for the bar that has been set for this season, I thought it was like pretty interesting and it's fun to see Amanda work like that. So that type of stuff I actually thought worked, and we can get to it, but also like the daily a lot. So I did think there was some meat there to enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 2-day-old leftovers. Like, it's there. It hasn't spoiled. Mm-hmm. You're going to be full, but you're not going to love it. It's not as good as it was 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a prime cut of rib or anything like that.
big carnivores, obviously, here. But, like, you know, that leftover rib.
Or a nice Impossible Burger for our vegans out there.
Let's talk about what I thought was the more interesting part, albeit depressing part, of the pre-daily segments, is this sort of hot potato, hot big tea. Like, she wants to go to Sapphire. I mean, there's so many things to break down here. Big T's choice would be Sapphire over Emerald, sort of inexplicably. And CT is just not even being coy about trying to convince her to go to Emerald, to the point where he says, like, you're going to piss us off if you come to Sapphire.
Yeah, it's sad because, like, Big T, like Logan said, is, like, a very positive person. She gives us such a great energy. I'm sure she's fun to have in the house. But when you're getting down to it, getting close to the final, she is someone you'd like. They said they don't really want her team. And again, CT doesn't do this in the most tactfully polite way. He finally, like, lets his confessional speak kind of seep into reality with the way he talks about Big T this time to Big T. But I kind of get it from their perspective. I mean, we see, again, the elimination. She's not, like, the strongest competitor. We see a few times in daily she's not the strongest competitor. So, like, I get it. And at a certain point, you know, you could be nice about it, but if she's set on coming to your team, maybe piss her off so much that she's like, screw it, I don't like CT anymore, I'm not going to want to work with him.
Yeah, I understand it, but at the same time, you have to believe anytime Big T, at this point, Big T does not win the daily, that she will be in the elimination, because every single remaining woman would pick her to go against, I think.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Unless barring people trying to, like, you know, get strategic and take out strong players. But yeah.
So Big T has to beat somebody in elimination and then remain on your team, meaning win again and again and again. I just think it's like he's overplaying. Like, she'll be on your team 1 week and then she'll go in again and she'll go home if she even wins in the elimination. So it just seemed like a bit extreme to be like so rude to her face, but it's not unjustified, not justified.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure it was pretty unlikely that she would win elimination and come join, but when you theoretically have so little to think about and discuss, I'm sure this was like seeping around in CT and Logan's heads. Well, now that Logan's on that team pretty recently, but in CT's head, like, I don't want her on my team. And now the brace with the fact that she's like pushing forward and trying to do it, I can understand, like, him not wanting to take any chances of being like, Big T, just don't come here, we don't want you here.
The other thing, though, the other person who's sort of getting the Big T treatment is Amanda. And we've said in the past few weeks we don't really understand why they're painting Amanda to be such a layup or anchor on the team. But now this is the second daily where Amanda has just blanketly refused to participate in a row. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to understand.
Yeah, I think what's becoming clear is Amanda really... she needs to be properly motivated, properly focused, and wanting to perform at the best of her abilities for her to perform at the best of her abilities. She will, as we've seen, go down in spite to take down others with her, to do whatever. So she needs to be in the right situation to perform. But that's why I do think in a final, when she has like just one clear task and knowing like how much money is on the line for her and her kid and to set herself up for the future, she will do what she needs to do. But in these dailies along the way, she gets distracted and loses focus and will act out of spite.
I mean, yeah, commendable. Isn't that what motivates everyone?
I love a spiteful queen.
But this conversation with Amanda and Josh ends up being, you know, the match spark that lights the flame. I've been losing my touch with my own phrasing, so I get nervous now.
come on to the dark side.
I've been Brian Cohen-ing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But this was an interesting conversation. First of all, I love Amanda's social game of saying it. This is between us and America.
Right. It's very... I mean, Amanda played this pretty well. She was... didn't like come up straight and just ask Josh like, who do you want out? Like, she kind of built up to it. She was like, I'm coming. Like, I know you, like, and then who do you most want to stay here? Josh said, Casey. I most want to run with Casey. And then, like, get the second choice. And I'm sure most people, including her, thought Josh would say Tori, but he wanted to run with Nani and kind of let that slip. I don't know if he intentionally let it slip or she wore him down over that conversation, but he said he wanted to run with Nani and would be okay-ish if she swapped with Tori.
And it's just, what is Nani just have such a profoundly better social game than Big T and Amanda, or is it the relationship with Casey and not wanting to piss Casey off? Like, because to me, Nani is in that class of competitors, and I'd maybe even want Amanda over Nani, although Nani's probably got more heart in certain instances.
Yeah, I would definitely say Nani is much closer to the Amanda tier than the Tori tier, for sure. But yeah, I think, yeah, I didn't even think about the Casey part of it. I think for Josh wanting to keep Casey as happy as possible, I think having Nani on that team probably helps. Not that Casey would be like Amanda and act out of spite, but I'm sure she wants to win even more having Nani on her team. So I think that probably plays a big part in Josh's decision there.
I mean, if Nani got bounced, and Nani and Josh are extremely close, so I don't mean to like take Nani's agency away from her, but if Nani ends up on Ruby, is there a world where Casey heroically throws herself in and then defects to be on with Nani? Maybe. Probably not, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe, probably not. Yeah, I don't see it. I think she would, you know, do as much as she can just to win, and then if Nani wins, she'd be happy too, but I don't think she's going down like that.
Well, you've been tracking the Tori winners at it here all season. You've been saying this. Here's where I start to buy into it. This pitch from Josh, like Tori is the weakest on Emerald. I do think that is a massive underrating for Tori, and the fact that she's now being sort of cast as this underdog, which is, again, not what she is, to me is where that's starting to click into place as a possibility of a comeback story for Tori. Comeback Tori. Yeah,
Tori is weird because she's now been stretched into like people talk, like Amanda talked about it too, being so overrated. I feel like Twitter talks about it being so overrated that she's so overrated that I think now she's underrated. Like you said, like people think she's like this absolute trash competitor that has just done nothing when she is still pretty good. I would say amongst this group, definitely upper tier. So it is weird that like this whole circulation of Tori that's getting so distorted. I think people are now letting their personal feelings clout hurt their feelings about her as a competitor, that she's kind of pissed people off so much, like in the fan community, that now they can't see the forest through the trees, right? Does that apply here about Tori actually being good despite how they feel about her? But I do think she is a very good competitor.
So I'm starting to buy into that hype now, because I do think that she's getting bounced to another team. That's going to put her in a vulnerable place. She's poised to make some sort of big strategic swing to maybe put herself into an elimination, to get back onto Emerald, or to get onto Sapphire, to leapfrog and springboard into a win. So I'm starting to see it. Oh, boy.
Well, it's all set up for her easily for the next girls elimination, because Big T is still here. So it's all right there for her.
Let's get to the highlight of the episode for me. And you already said you liked this challenge. I liked Top Gun TJ.
Oh, yeah. TJ was if we had hot TJ on the drinking game, this would have fit right there. He coming in on the motorcycle. I feel like he kind of like swerve near them to get like dirt on them, which I thought was kind of funny. He pops off, puts on the shades, and he's looking good.
Yeah, he looked great. Kyle Picard said, did you enjoy the over the top Top Gun theming as much as I did? Guess we know Kyle's shipping it.
Yeah, if we had shipping marketing scheme, it'd be all over. Yeah, I thought this was great. Sometimes like the spy thing has been over the top, but I think when they take the spy thing seriously, it doesn't work. When they go like this direction and it's like goofy-ish, it plays so much better. And I thought this played great. The whole like the plane going under the water. I thought that was great. Like the Top Gun of it all, I thought played very well.
Yeah, I like this. It also definitely was a challenge where more people is an advantage, but not like a win, an automatic win. You know, it's not physical. Mm-hmm. It's not 6-on-4, but you could definitely accomplish this, as we saw, with sort of a streamlined team as opposed to a possibility of a too many cooks in the kitchen type deal. So in that respect, it was one of the best challenges since they've been in three teams.
Yeah, I know, because this was good. This was had that the kind of the sectioned off that I was hoping for, where it wasn't like a full complicated puzzle, but you know, for the smaller team, they could just have one person like CT just handling putting the pieces in the right order based off what was being said. And for the larger teams, you might have multiple people there, so it doesn't give you that full advantage of collecting all the pieces and getting them over in the right way. So yeah, this was the exact type of challenge that they could do when it's 6-4 or 6-3, or I mean, ideally it's even teams, but if they're going to go down this route, this at least tries to level the playing field.
So we get the storyline of kind of Josh on his own botches the whole thing for Emerald, however true that is. And then for Ruby, there's a language barrier they have to overcome between Kyle and the rest of the team. The fat circle, which absolutely killed me. It's like a circle, but it's fat.
Yep. And they were so close, as Kyle said, they were so close to putting the puzzle together. They were just a piece or two away, but they got timed out. So, poor Ruby. Yeah.
As close as we are to Vegas, I think, is what TJ said.
Yes. Yeah. TJ had some good liners. I watched this and also his back to back, and he had some good stuff.
Well, TJ never disappoints. The glasses, the aviator glasses are always half full.
So it doesn't seem, I mean, we're now, this is obviously, we're 14 episodes in, only a few more probably to the final. So I guess we're just not getting trivia this season, right?
I mean, I would never say never. Maybe we're going to get it during the final.
There you go.
I said it first. No.
I think you started the sentence first. Yeah, but I don't know. Usually, wait. Usually, they do it with so many people. Easy to do it when they had pairs. Still do it with teams. I don't know. Weird they don't do it.
It would be really Amanda's redemption for everyone. Yeah, and then Safford as well. Emmy gets this little heroes edit. Caitlin Glancy says, was the highlight of the season to see anyone but Emerald win?
Certainly not a highlight of the season, but I mean, I guess the highlight of this episode, I guess we could say, to see someone else win. Good for Sapphire. And again, breaking news, the CNN didn't update the scroll, but Nelson up to 48 consecutive losses. And of course, he was just so close. So close, because he was on this on Sapphire. He gets swapped out. Sapphire wins. Oh, you hate to see it.
Are you now rooting against Nelson's wins because you wanted to get to 50? Like, how do you feel about it?
It's a great question. I want it to reach a level where people have to acknowledge it. Because I think in we've now acknowledged it. I think people in our world are acknowledging it, but I don't know if the grander challenge fandom knows about this. And like, if this gets to, let's say he makes the final and loses everything along the way, he'll be at like 53, I guess, 52. And then he starts off the next season, like losing another 8 in a row. And we're now in the 60s. Like, this needs to like be a thing in the challenge community. I want everyone to know about that. That is now my mission. I want like the Reddit forums, all the Twitter blog. I want everyone to know about this streak, because this is like Joe DiMaggio level of incompetence. Like 48, it's and again, like, just here he just missed it. Like he was swapped last week, right? That's where he was swapped. So like, he just missed winning on this team, and he swapped the Ruby, and they didn't stand a freaking chance. They were a disaster. So I want people to know. So I think I'm rooting against him. I would love to see him not win a daily and then win the show. I think that'd be pretty funny.
It was 2 weeks ago he was swapped, or two eliminations ago, because Logan swapped with Kyle. But the point stands, and it is the meanest thing anyone's ever said, that you're like, I will not rest until we add insult to injury, and everyone knows about what a loser
because now it's like the delusion, because again, like, the sentiment that Nelson keeps having is like, oh, Amanda's not in it for the right reason. She's not giving it her all. Like, we can't win with Amanda on her team. If Amanda knows about this, come next season, she will bring it up. Like, she's not one to hold a punch. So if she finds out about this, she'll be like, Nelson, you've lost 55 straight challenges. Maybe your head's not in the game, and maybe you're here for the wrong reasons.
Okay, you need to be retweeting the challenge stat tweet at Amanda every single day.
It's a great idea. I need to retweet and put Amanda, be like, Amanda, call out your boy. She'll do it.
It's so funny how much you love this. And it is an incredible statistic. I mean, he could be selling merch, like bananas with like the seven rings. Like,
he should be.
He could be like, after this, he can make like a Thomas. That's his last name, right? Thomas, like Nelly T jersey with like, you know, 53 on it on the back and counting.
Yeah, it's like the old Browns jersey with all the different quarterbacks X'd out. And then all the way at the bottom, he should just have a jersey with like all the one, two, three, four, all crossed out and like wherever he ends this season at, big circled.
Yeah, of course. Everyone knows that Browns jersey.
Yes. I'll get at least one tweet being like, yes, I know what you're talking about. And I will appreciate that person.
But then we get the, not, Top Gun didn't just sponsor the challenge. Also, I should highlight, if you're going to say we've got some stars from the movie Top Gun on video, and it's not Tom Cruise. I know MTV is like pursuing a younger audience here, and these are probably like really big Hui stars who young people know. But like, cut the clip out, because everyone was expecting Tom Cruise, including the contestants who referenced Tom Cruise like 300 times.
Right. And then Gullible Me thought, oh wow, they actually flew these people out. And I think they would just pull up a TV screen and show like a preset commercial, but I'm an idiot. So that's
Wait, when did you think this?
Well, he said like they brought in people from the show to describe the daily. I thought, oh, wow, they flew in the actors.
You had like 15 seconds to have that thought. Well, oh, there's like immediately a screen.
My brain works pretty quick. In those 15 seconds, I was like, wow, I'm very excited for these actors. Oh, no, that's a TV screen.
I'm churning out bad ideas by the second.
I had the tweet all typed out, ready to press tweet, and then I had to press cancel.
Wow, you should have gone with it. Be brave.
Yeah.
Take a risk. Anyway, the Top Gun party, I actually liked that the sponsorship continued into the party.
Yeah, they got to, and they even part of the winning daily, they got to watch the movie. We didn't get to see it. I was hoping it would be like Survivor, where you get to see them go off with like the popcorn and watch the movie. Do you think that's something they did during like filming of this, or is this like after the fact they just got like a screening of it?
Oh, I thought they were like invited to the actual premiere.
Oh, that's cool. I guess it's probably better.
I myself churn out bad ideas by the second also. That's probably wrong.
Tough for Emmy. That's an expensive flight to come all the way out here just for the freaking premiere of a Top Gun Maverick.
Can you call something an exclusive premiere if they get it like an early advanced copy on streaming?
I mean, exclusive gets tossed around a lot. I used to use the exclusive for all my interviews because it just sounded cool. But I mean, none of these are really exclusive.
Well, no, that's objectively incorrect use of exclusive.
Right. Well, it sounds cool.
We got an exclusive interview. Yeah, but it's exclusive if they don't do any other interviews.
Right. So is anything ever really exclusive? Who's ever?
Well, like I'm having an exclusive interview with you right now. You're not going to go anywhere else and talk about the challenge for this episode. No,
that's true. Colin Bryan exclusive.
I'm going to tweet that every week now. Exclusive episode with Brian. But okay, so this is a little interesting in that it comes out in the Sapphire sort of deliberation that CT is going to protect Emerald because Emerald has been protecting CT, and CT does not feel threatened by going against any of the Emerald people in the final. And for that reason, obviously, and it should be obvious to everyone in Emerald, that CT has the best end of this deal. Like, they're getting a raw deal. They're not getting protected. They're getting prepared to be beaten by CT.
Yeah, this was very enlightening because it signified two things that we've kind of been hinting at and wondering at. The biggest thing, obviously, you said that CT is not threatened at all by the group of hooligans on Emerald, that he thinks he can smoke them with his little, now smaller team, although maybe doesn't feel that way without Ashley. So, I mean, maybe his mind has changed, but he figures his smaller team can beat them. And that he's really been the one to maintain the vet piece. He's like, I won't go after you. You won't go after me. And for all of them, who were a lot of them playing like Devin and Josh that really play more scared and try to just avoid eliminations, that sounds great for them because they don't want to go in because they know they're going to lose. And then obviously it's great for CT because he can just kind of skate on by.
No disrespect to Ashley, although depending on what happened this week, some disrespect to Ashley. I don't even think CT feels like he's missing anything with her. I know he says that, but it's like he can rely on himself to do puzzles. I truly think that CT would compete alone against a team if he could. And so the leaner, the better. But if you're going to be on the team, you got to be able to run. That's all he really needs. And right. so Ashley could do that, but no Ashley also can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he felt Ashley would be a helpful piece, but yeah, maybe we'll find out. Maybe we'll come out. He's like not like super pissed that she's gone, but I think he probably would rather her be there. Well, I guess now if they win, they split, you know, money with fewer people. So
assuming we're going as a team to the final.
Right.
I do think that this episode and last episode do not survive as episodes if Amanda was not in the house, because mm-hmm. the fact that she takes this information at the club yep. and walks right in, calls people out and goes a little rogue and gets a little reckless, like that is saving the season.
Yeah. No, she wanted them to squirm and wanted them to freak out a little bit. She got Casey riled up. I think this is the loudest Casey's ever been in like four seasons of reality TV. She was screaming. I don't think Casey's ever yelled at anyone in her life. And she got her to be start yelling at her. So Amanda can get things out of anyone if she really sets her mind to it. And she did.
And we got the best quote. It's not maybe Nani's best quote ever, but best in recent memory of, I'm a nice person, but I'm still crazy. Yep.
And she said it with like, I don't know if there was like an editing trick, but it seemed like they like zoomed in a little bit and she had like little crazy eyes going. So they really did it proper there.
They did it proper. Loved it. So Tori says Amanda stole shit. She's going to pick Pig T anyway. And I just thought that was such a missed, like she's missing the point. The point, yes, Amanda was like, you're all up for grabs. But the point is, I'm going to beat Big T, and then I'm going to come for you and infiltrate. Charlene says, if the Emerald girls want to keep the Emerald cell together so badly, why didn't they just ask to go in and go against Big T to ensure that Emerald stays together?
Yeah, that is a fantastic point. I was thinking about that the whole time, too, especially because we had the scene last week of Devin being like, if someone gets swapped out, it will throw the elimination, and you can win and come back in. If Tori is that scared about going into elimination or getting swapped out of Emerald, go in and call out Big T and have no problem beating her, and she probably would have had no problem beating her. I was surprised almost Amanda didn't just bring that point up to her. I feel like that would have almost saved her from going in, unless Amanda secretly did want to go into swap. But if she really just wanted to avoid elimination, that would have been a great point, and I think that would have riled them up, and I think it would have worked.
So I do think that while Emerald is like, oh, yeah, we're all Emerald, we want to be on the same team, they are a collection of probably the most scared conservative players. Mm-hmm. Like, more than they want to stay together, they want to stay alive. I just don't see any of them risking going in, especially like they've been around long enough to see CT lose to Jay, right? Like we've all mm-hmm. seen insane eliminations. Anissa beat Tori, you know, that wasn't insane, but I think Tori thought she had a pretty good chance of beating Anissa in that elimination and she lost. So I don't think any of them, like, they're all so scared. That's why we're seeing all of this happen, right? Like, they're afraid to be on another team, justifiably. I'm not saying it would be smart of them to do this. The only time I think we would see this is if Nani was going to be the target that Casey maybe would say, put me in and I'll take Big T out and whatever. Like, I could see something like that happening. But aside from that, it does not surprise me at all that Emerald is playing, like, little scared people.
Yeah, no, not surprising. Yeah, the only one I think it might have worked on would have been Tori, because I think if it was clear that Amanda was going to swap with her, then, and she seems to be one of the more vocal ones of wanting to keep Emerald together. So I think that would have been the one person to try to make this work on. I think if she pushed on it and then got Devin like in her ear chirping about why this might be a good move, I do think it could have had some legs. But we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, it could still play out in the future. I just think someone also said, and I forget where this was, this might have been someone on Banana's podcast, I'm forgetting, but that, like, Tori, all the women wanted CT to stay because they thought, like, they were looking towards, like, a non-team final, and they wanted mm-hmm. to, like, run with CT. And so in that case, like, maybe people think they're just biding their time in teams anyway, but who knows?
Yeah.
Speaking of who knows, Ashley is gone. We come to the deliberation. Only three members of the Sapphire team are there, and yep. MTV does not tell us why.
Nope. They don't say anything. She's just not there. They just go about the deliberation as if everything is normal. And then we find out at the elimination, TJ announces that Ashley broke one of their rules, and she has been deactivated.
Yeah, so a lot of rumors are going around about what happened. I think it's very Googleable if people want to find it. It's not really for us to say what happened at this point. But I do think what we should talk about is a question from Patrick M. Sure, you will get a lot of questions about Ashley, and I'm sure you will have read what she did, but what was the point of giving zero context? MTV has demonized villains before. Why is Ashley different? Shouldn't she be held accountable for her actions?
Yeah, MTV just really does not seem to get out of their own way with this type of stuff. They want to take strong stances about things that absolutely they should take strong stances about, that they shouldn't tolerate, people should be sent home for some type of things. But then they don't properly like air them or discuss them or like shine light on what like the issue is. Like, obviously they have to know that send Ashley home like this, people are gonna like, it's gonna come out. Like, there's no secrets in the MTV world. Like, this was gonna come out, whatever, if the rumors what she did happen or if it's something else, like, it's gonna come out. So why not just get ahead of it and just put like a disclaimer up or just have it discussed or do something about education or something that to discuss the point, and not just let rumors run rampant or speculation be to happen. And they're just very wishy-washy, but go back and forth on what is tolerated, what is not tolerated, what do they shine light on, what are they not shine light on. Like, they just can't seem to get out of their own way with some type of stuff.
So here's the thing, and I think we've talked about it with, like, the Leroy and Camilla situation and the other cases where they've, you know, the people like D come to mind or... you know, Camilla halfway through where they sort of like showed what happened, neutered what happened, let Leroy speak to what happened, and then ultimately banned her after like probably far too long. There was an issue with Kaylee and Natalie that got aired out, and Kaylee wasn't even banned as a result. You know, like, there have been issues where people have done wrong to other people. Let's say that. And that's been aired. And then there's been reports of people who have done wrong to other people and they've been covered up and they continue to come back to the show. I think what's hard is it's like a moving and evolving target, right? Like, even where we are today socially is different than where we were 5 years ago. And I don't think MTV needs to be consistent with past practices to the extent that they're moving forward, but they do need to be consistent, like, from X period forward. You know, the one caveat to that is when somebody, like, let's take the Leroy and Camilla situation, right? Leroy chose to, like, speak to that and how that impacted him. And for people who don't know, Camilla said some really racist stuff to Leroy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say.
And, you know, what is the recipient of that? What does Leroy want aired? Does he want the whole thing aired? Is that more harmful to him? Does he want to be the one telling the story about it later? Does, like, and so in certain situations, or if you take like Kaylee and Natalie, where Kaylee like outed Natalie's sexuality, maybe there's a world where Natalie doesn't want that to make air because of whatever personal reason. So there has to be some flexibility of like the affected person gets to say, I don't want this on the show, or I do want this on the show. And that will lead to, I'm not saying that's what happened here. I have no idea, but like that could lead to some sort of inconsistencies, but would be a valid reason to not air it. My concern is I do think it's a matter of protecting Ashley because they don't want to lose her. And they've lost a lot of people that they consider important people to the franchise.
Yeah, I think, I totally agree. And like the biggest thing that we see every season with MTV is, like you said, with the line. And it's not just verbal stuff, it's physical stuff. We never know what the line is, what you can or can't do. I'm sure they don't know what you can and can't do. We had the whole thing with Fessy being sent home for what we didn't think was a big thing. I'd see like maybe Josh should have also been sent home in that moment. And then Fessy was sent home. And like we never know why or what is the reason for someone being sent home in any scenario. So which is very confusing for the contestants, is very confusing for us. What is allowed and what should be tolerated? And it just makes for very frustrating watch sometimes because you don't really know what you're seeing and what the result is going to be because there's no real, even sort of clear guidelines.
And as we've brought up many times, you know, Ashley was kicked off her season of The Real World. She was voted out by her housemates, including Corey. And then it's like how many seasons off is required, or any seasons off required. D was edited out of the show for using like racial slurs on Twitter, right? That's what D was involved in.
I think so, yeah.
So it's just like, it's so inconsistent. We don't have a standard. Like you said, we're sort of losing an opportunity to discuss certain issues, like for everything about the come on in guys, how I think Survivor botched that in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, is that the first time that anybody even considered that in certain areas of people who are watching the show? Like, maybe. So, like, some of this should still be, like, old real-world principles of, like, we confront bad actors and we confront ourselves and we learn and we grow and whatever. So all of this is to say, I don't envy the people who have to make the decision, because it's so hard to set a sort of hard and fast rule when it comes to reality television. And you're, as we said before, you're, or Jacob Jones and I talked about this, like, what is the line when we want people to get into fights and we want people to show their ass and we want people to be dramatic, but we don't want people to be harmed. And so I don't know what the line is.
Yeah. No, there's no like right or wrong answer for what the line is and what it should be. Just, we wish we had a better stance. And I guess we discussed this before going on, but we discussed a couple weeks ago when they did the reunion, there were some questions as to why Ashley wasn't at the reunion. Clearly now why she's not at the reunion for being sent home for this. And my guess is they probably don't even broach this as a topic at the reunion if she's not going to be there. I would imagine so. And I guess sometimes they discuss these things without the person there. So I'll be curious to see if this even is a topic of discussion at the reunion, or if it just, she actually sent home and, you know, that's it.
Yeah. And before we go too far, Ashley like put out a Twitter statement. Rules are rules, and I respect MTV and TJ's call. The best apology is change behavior. See you next time. I just want to thank everyone who stuck with me throughout this all. Everyone knows I'm only mad at myself, and it has been so hard to shake off the depression and anxiety since getting home. I have been taking anger management and reflecting a lot. Prayer hands emoji. I love y'all so much. So, I mean, this statement clearly reads like she'll be back. Period. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. Yeah, there's no way to speculate, because it would be a complete guess at this point.
Okay, so let's get to deliberation. It gets pretty heated between Devin, Amanda, and Josh. Becca says, what are your feelings on Josh going hard on Amanda deliberation? I personally would add Devin to that, but I understand that he's protecting himself and his game, but it is absolutely ludicrous that he is asking her to look out for him more than herself. She has a baby at home. Is he serious?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think Devin was definitely more so going at Amanda. I feel like Josh just put his foot in his mouth and then was trying to backtrack as much as possible and get out of a situation that he created by bringing up the conversation he had with Amanda. I thought Devin was much more, you know, in Looney Tune land about being like, what? I can't. We're all friends here. Why would you do something that could potentially hurt me and my chances of winning in this game? I thought that was really one of the more out of character things from Devin, because I get his, like, obviously for him it would be worse, but I feel like Devin's always been more of a logical game player that he just got totally lost in the sauce about, like, what everyone should be doing on this season. And I lost, like, not respect for him, I don't know, but, like, I just, like, this was not one of his best looks coming out of this week about going at Amanda for wanting to do clearly what would be better for her.
I really can't, I can't tell if Devin is like in the mode where everything is going so well. This is the best game he's ever played. You know, he's been in the majority alliance for the first time in a long time, if not ever. Fessy is gone. You know, like, is this just like, oh my God, I'm so close, and this one person who's supposed to be my friend, who I've looked out for, is going to screw me? Like, is it that, or is it, my only play strategically is to stand on ceremony and act like that matters? Usually, like you're saying, he's logical, and that would lead me to sort of the B story. But we would also normally get a confessional, and we've had plenty of time this episode for it, of him being like, my only play is to like appeal to this, which is probably not going to work, but let's give it a roll. So I do kind of think it was more like, this is maybe slipping through my fingers and I worked so hard.
Yeah, no, that's 100% the way I lean. I totally agree. I think if this was more gamery, we definitely would have had that confessional definitely been like, look, I know this is preposterous and she obviously should swap, but for my chances, I really need to try to get her to agree with this preposterous situation and prove how much of a genius I am or something like that. Like, we would have had that confessional. He would have said that confessional. So this was clearly he knows his best and probably only chance of winning a final is having a large group of the best possible competitors, and he feels Amanda coming on would wreck that, and this was him being just pissed basically and lashing out.
And it's strange though, because you would think that Devin would do more of a Josh play, which is like, all right, I'm gonna face the reality that she's maybe gonna go in, and so either, like you said, try to convince one of the girls to go against her, but then you really risk decimating your team if she happens to win and then she still infiltrates. Or you try to coach Amanda to pick Nani. Like, I just don't understand why it was left to Josh. And kudos to Josh for sort of having this conversation. But in terms of Josh's behavior at deliberation, I thought Josh was honestly doing a really good job of sort of stealthily being like, I already told you who I want to run the final with.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was like an understood, like, wink, wink, nod, like, I'm acting like I'm with my team, but I already told you, Amanda, that you should replace Tori.
Yeah, and it was one of those situations where we got, it was great we got to see like the full or sort of full conversation between the two of them, so we can kind of see how they were each kind of spin zoning that, where Amanda was seemingly more telling the truth, but Josh was also sort of telling the truth. Like, he said in so many words that he wanted to run with everyone, but then he most wanted to run with Casey. And then if he had to choose, he would choose Nani over Tori, but he didn't want to choose. He was just kind of forced to choose. So like, it was very cool to kind of see them each trying to spin like their conversation in their best light. And I think they both did like, a decent job of it.
Agreed. Honestly, that's a great point. Normally we'd be able, like, I wish we saw this conversation so we would know what was going on. Like, we did get a good setup of this. Yeah, but it also sort of reminded me, like, at a tribal council for survival, a tribal council for survivor, somebody would be like doing a little bit of a misdirection and saying like, we're all like, my alliance is loyal to the soil and we're staying tribe strong, hoping that the people you're flipping with like know that you're just saying that for the benefit of everyone else. But in a game like this, it's all personal. We're all friends. And like, you're going to let me be the bad guy in my own, Josh. Well, then I'm going to throw you under the bus. Like, it's just a different kind of game. And that's where the history and the friendships for 5, 6, whatever years come into play. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Because like Amanda kind of said that she wasn't coming into this ready to blow Josh's game up. Like, I'm sure they had that conversation at least a day or so ago, and she clearly didn't say that to anyone. She was kind of holding that to herself and just going to make the move when it comes down to it. And then when Josh, as Amanda said, Josh brought this whole thing up about who they would want Amanda to swap with. So that was on Josh for bringing it up. And then Amanda's like, all right, you want to talk about it? Let's talk about it, Josh. Who did you want me to swap with? So Amanda was kind of being like as good of a friend to Josh as she could be in there in that moment, but also recognizing this is a game and I need to do what's best for me.
Speaking of what's best for her, they go to the, Emma said the arena, I'm mixing challenge franchises. Mm-hmm. They go to the lair and we're playing Vault Escape, and she's calling out Big T. No surprise.
Nope. No surprise. Pretty cool elimination too. They had like basically like when you have like, you know, your charging port and it's like behind your bed and you're trying to figure out, well, how do I turn this? Where does it fit? You have to do that with like 8 poles and climb up a structure to ring a bell. This was a pretty cool one.
This felt very classic challenge to me in a good way. Yeah. You know, it's like sort of a spin on a skill set being tested that we've seen before. I could see this in the arena on Challenge All Stars.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I thought it's sort of an anyone's game type deal. Amanda did destroy, and I was excited to watch her infiltrate until, as you've said many times, we find out that actually there is no elimination and Big T is going to stay after tasting defeat.
Yeah, and I didn't see Challenge Stats come out with this one, but this has to be. Like, we've had other fake eliminations where they get down to the lair and then nothing happens and things like that. And obviously, we've had people lose an elimination and then battle their way back in the Redemption House. But this, I can't recall anyone ever actually losing an elimination and then just coming right back in and not doing anything to earn their spot back in the game. This I love to see challenge stats.
I mean, didn't this happen with, not in the same way, but when Ashley came back last season, right? Like, we've seen eliminated people return because other people, but not
right in my face.
No, but not in a fake, like, for some reason that doesn't bother me as much. This is like when Jordan Kalish makes us keep playing in Mafia when the rules are already decided. It's just like, why play God with us when you know there's no purpose? I mean, there is some purpose. Let's ask this question from Eric. Is Big T staying just going to give us a repeat episode the next Girls' Day? Couldn't they have accomplished the same thing by doing a double guys elimination? Just seems like any momentum the season got from Amanda going to Emerald has now been killed by bringing back a weaker competitor.
Yeah, the purpose of what this did is it absolutely killed two episodes from that. There is nothing to happen. No matter, unless somehow whatever team Big T, I guess that's Ruby, and that's not going to happen because Nelson's on that team. If they win that week, then it makes it interesting. But other than that, it's Big T going in and losing to whoever. That's that week's episode. That's episode 16. I spoiled it for you.
My only issue, and the reason I am not as angry as you are, although I love the fire, is if they don't, if Amanda goes down and they say, because Ashley went home, you get credit for the win, and now you get to infiltrate just by virtue of having been voted in the week that somebody else got eliminated, does feel like too much power. Do you think it should have just been Nooch and she has to stay on her on Ruby?
So this is definitely better than if they just canceled the elimination and nothing happened. Like, this is better than that because, yeah, at least something happened with Amanda swapping to Emerald and you got Tori there. So this is better. I just don't know why they couldn't just be down, just do double elimination. Yeah, do two guys go out next week or just have it be uneven for who cares? Whatever.
Well, no, but if two guys go out next week, then you're still getting nothing. Like, you're still canceling this elimination.
No, because right now, so if Big T went home.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. You meant Big T. That's what this question is. Okay, got it. Yeah. Big T goes home and then you do a double guys.
Yeah. Or just, it was just whatever. Then it's just, I don't know, it's one off.
Maybe just, the answer is just one guy's going and that's it.
Yeah, just wait it out a couple weeks. Someone will do something stupid or get hurt and gets at home and these problems solve themselves. So, like, just be, have one, a team with, look, the challenge doesn't have any problem with there being a team of six and a team of three. They shouldn't have any problem with there being an extra guy for a week. So,
my solve for this is you tell them before that you're playing for infiltration and no one's going home. I just don't like that you do the elimination thinking something's on the line and it's actually not.
Yeah.
But I want there to be a challenge in order to infiltrate.
Yeah, I'm very glad that at least we had the infiltration. But for Big T, like, I understand, like, you're playing for $1 million and, like, you obviously want to win. But if I, like, I don't know if I would do, you wouldn't do it, but, like, if you lose an elimination,
I thought this too.
And, like,
just send yourself home.
Yeah, I'll be like, look, I did my best. I'm God. Guys, like, I lost. No one wants me here, clearly. Like, I would just, like, my own, like, not self-esteem, but just, like, my own, like, self-consciousness would be like, look, no one really wants me here. I suck. I just got destroyed in this elimination. I clearly had no chance. Just, I had my fun time. I'm going home. And then that would just be the end of it.
All right. Before we get to our Michigas, just want to give a shout out to Annie Abrams, who wrote us that she was listening to us when she was taking the bar or studying for the bar way back when. And we wished her good luck. And that luck paid off, not her hard work, but our good luck, because she notified us that she'd passed the bar. So congratulations. Oh, incredible.
Fantastic.
All right. Let's start with some 5-star reviews, shall we?
Let's do it. Yeah.
11 minus 7, carry the 1. Alex Bernada, thank you so much. Oh, Alex, this is where I got the information. This is interesting. I'm going to read it. Tori said on her podcast this week that as soon as Kyle got rid of Nelson and Ed, CT was upset. So he told Emerald to vote him in so he can pick Logan to go against and win and replace Emmanuel on Emerald. They said, okay, and we're going to vote CT in, but he changed his mind in the last minute. I don't understand why they didn't show that. Tori also said the girls weren't voting CT in because the girls were thinking about the finals, potentially switching back to partners, and were hoping to be paired up with CT. So thanks for that bit of information, Alex, and thank you for the 5-star review. I would imagine they didn't show it because to like really reveal how absolutely manipulated this entire season has been would kind of take a lot away from it.
It does kind of like add a little background to CT's like weird confessional, or even like at the nomination when he was like, I need to get my head in the game. I'm like losing focus. Like that didn't seem to make much sense, but I think that kind of makes more sense now that he was like on the verge of throwing himself in and he like was trying to snap himself back out of it. So I think that kind of, I mean, that definitely seems to hold water.
So if you want to give us inside information or you want to let us know how you feel about the podcast, you could do so at robisowebsite.com/challenge iTunes and let us know what you think.
For the drinking game, quiet week, just three. One time TJ wanting someone back, which is Big T, got her back within 10 seconds. So good for him. One time.
Oh, yeah, that is true. He like fully did that. I'm sure we'll see in the future. Like he did the whole thing.
One time someone talking about their kids, Amanda playing for her kids. And then we had one infiltration. Amanda going Emerald. That's it.
All righty.
Beep, beep. Beep, beep.
Yeah, I was like, should we do the social meds? What do we do? All right, let's beep, beep.
For the beep, beep, Ashley, 2 points for Scally for being sent home by elimination. But I finally gained a point for Big T losing elimination. And then, which is really interesting, because I guess I could get double points because she could lose another elimination. So that's fun.
All right, we're back in.
We're back in. And then Amanda lost a point for winning elimination. And I just want to, so no score because of all that. No, nothing changed. It's still us 29, them 28.5. But there have been six people to go home by means, not by elimination. Matt and Scally have all six.
Cheaters. All six. Cheaters.
Seems very fishy. Very fishy.
Spoiled. All right, a little social media action, not much, but Jemmy, of course, has to be in on it. The Tori/Jordan tea I have for y'all, straight from the source, and his exact words to me, quote, do what you want with this info, Jem, and y'all know if I'm Team Jordan, it must be some dirt. And then she said, you know I got you. This is a story time situation, so I guess we'll keep an eye out for that. We already read Ashley's response. And then Devin tweeted, for the record, always have been, still am, a big Amanda guy. Extremely entertaining. That's a tweet I feel like you would tweet.
Big Amanda guy.
Yeah, and here's me retweeting this. Amanda retweeted in all caps, you better be.
I think my favorite thing that Amanda does is, I don't know if she does it every time, but all the tweets I've seen, she spells Tori T-O-R-Y instead of with an I.
Jemmy did that too.
I think I want to believe Amanda's doing it intentionally. It's just like, oh, I don't even know this person is so unimportant. I just spell their name wrong. That's what I want to believe because it's very funny every single time.
1,000%. It's on purpose. The disrespect, the subtle disrespect. Amanda was going off. I couldn't pull the tweets because it was just like effing this, Tori effing that. I was just like, all right, we get it. Amanda hates Tori. Mm-hmm. We got it. All right. And then that's it.
There we go. Episode 14 of the books. We'll be back for next week for episode 15. You can subscribe. robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter. Colin with a C. Brian with an I underscore. And where could they follow and hear you?
Yeah, we got some plugs. Follow me at Lash Tweets. I was on the BNB this week talking about the last episode of Survivor, so it's probably already old news, but we had a lot of fun. So check that out at robhiswebsite.com/BNB, whatever, Google it. And then you could check me and the great Akiva Winokur talking about New Girl on New Girl Old Guy, anchor.fm/New Girl Old Guy. We'll be talking with Av of the Pretty Good Curb podcast coming up next week. And you could check me and Brian out on our secondary challenge podcast, which maybe we should have plugged at the top of the show.
True.
But who cares? So, Brian, you want to set that up?
Yeah, we normally for last season, what we did during All-Stars, we would tack All-Stars coverage right onto the top of this. But we figured for the people, so they don't have to be scrolling through. And if they don't want to hear us talking about a drinking game for a show they don't watch, we'll do separate podcast for Challenge All Stars, so it'll be the same feed. Maybe you already listened to it. We haven't recorded it yet, so it's one of those weird time zone travel things. But if you, it'll be in your feeds, and you can catch it all there.
And then one last plug from the man upstairs, Rob Cesternino. November is a great month to become a patron of RHAP to get access to the weekly Survivor 41 Q&A show. They've had some great guests on that. I think that's what Frail Mary has been doing, and Matt was on there. It's all good stuff. The Patron 5 for 5, which has been called by almost every patron I know the best podcast on RHAP, with the First Lady of Podcasting, Nicole Cesternino, and access to the community on Facebook and Discord. Plus, Survivor Trivia Night is returning this month. But you missed it. It already happened. So sorry to rub it in your face. But they do a lot of fun events like that.
It was a pretty big hit. I think there was like 400 or 500 people on it or something. It was a very big deal. Shout out to Jordan Kalish.
Yeah. So get involved with that. Supporting shows like this and everything on RHAP by becoming a patron. Support shows like this. We're very good at this. What Brian and I do here. robiswebsite.com/patron.
Every time you hear support shows like this, I always think of, like, during my cereal binging at the end of each episode of cereal. Support shows on this by, what was their main sponsor? It was like
MailChimp.
Yeah, MailChimp. Oh,
man. I think of PBS, viewers like you. But we'll be back in 5 minutes to talk about the Challenge All Stars.
Until then, have a good one.